about 80% serious. I was ready to go.
I think the word stunning's appropriate.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. This is the Ira Kaufman podcast. We got a lot to hit on today, Sage. I'm fired up. All kinds of angles here, and we're getting ready for summer, but that just means we're going to keep on rolling, so that's always fun, too. And it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. No payments for 90 days on a new Ford. They are giving you a summer vacation at Bill Curry Ford. Tremendous inventory. Check them out now, BillCurryFord.com. And you can shop online, or you can go to the dealership a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. GM Sean Sullivan, host of the Best in Class podcast. He's our draft guru. He will give you the Ira Kaufman discount on top of everything else right there at Bill Curry Ford. Just ask him for it. And they've got up to $20,000 off select vehicles. They've got some incredible specials, a few 2023s left that you can jump on, more than a few. And just, service, you can get it at your house. They'll come and pick you up. They've got 99 loaners available, as Sean likes to say. So no excuse not to get your car serviced. BillCurryFord.com. Check them out. And Sage, our friends, the rain has come, and they are needed at Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration. Do not mess around. If you have flood, storm damage, fire, mold, whatever it might be, you call them 24/7. They will get out to you quickly, and they will assess whatever's going on with their technology, and it's all free. And until you need their services, then you can move forward with them. They'll battle your insurance company to get the money that you need to restore your property, and they'll give you an Ira Kaufman discount as well. When you call them up, mention Ira. If you need their services, after your free evaluation, you'll get $500 back, and maybe that's money you use for your deductible or just cash back. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. We talk about them all the time, and that season is here in a big way for a lot of our listeners. They're a great family-owned company, just like Bill Curry Ford. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira, I know you're chipper, you're fired up, and we got plenty to talk about, but I wanted to throw this to you first so you don't get sidetracked. Sterling Shepard, we haven't talked about that signing. What do you think about it? The guy's got a lot of career catches. Chemistry with Mayfield, obviously, no matter what the Bucs say, this was a Mayfield-driven signing.
Well, there's no question it was a Mayfield signing. I would hazard a guess, Lee, that over the next 2 or 3 years, if Mayfield is still a Buccaneer, it will not be the last Baker Mayfield signing. I don't think it would have happened if Mayfield wasn't under center for this football team. I'm not going to go crazy. I'm not going to knock it, Lee. No risk. No risk. Let's see what he's got. Lee, the facts are the facts, Lee. Can't change that. He hasn't done anything in this league in 3 or 4 years. He just hasn't. Mm-hmm. Injuries, bad quarterback play, whatever. He's going to get a chance with the Bucs. Look, is he going to usurp Chris Godwin as Robin to Mike Evans' Batman? Absolutely not. Is he going to zoom ahead of McMillan, the rookie? No, I don't think he will. But Godwin doesn't always play a full season. Trey Palmer's still got to improve. At this point, I'm not doing cartwheels over Sterling Shepard. But it's a no-risk move, Lee. If it pans out, Mayfield and Light look like geniuses.
Yeah, you summed it up very well, Ira. I mean, would I rather have him than Devin Tompkins? Of course. I don't know how much injuries Pearl Harbor in his career. I don't know if it was Daniel Jones, a combination, who knows. But if they can squeeze something out of him, he's an improvement over Devin Tompkins. But this one, Tompkins was, his impact was really minimal on offense last year. And I agree with you about Trey Palmer. He needs to improve. There's hope there. I know I'm kind of repetitive about this, but I really love this nugget about how fast Palmer is coming out of his routes. And just go back to the Philadelphia game where Canales had a short pass to Palmer. He made just one guy miss. Boom, touchdown. Off the races we go. If he can get out of his routes that quick, which has been documented, he's actually quicker than Tyreek Hill coming out of his routes. If they can get him the ball quickly, I think that's a better use of his wheels than, just playing the ball and hope he runs past everybody.
The takeaway from the Sheppard deal is, and this isn't the first time, Steve, it's not the first time, that the Bucks, if you want to use the word defer, that might be too strong, but you could say that quarterbacks for the recent Buck vintage under center, Steve, they got a lot of clout. They got a lot of clout. Now look, when Tom Brady says, giving Antonio Brown a look, that's Tom Brady. But now it is extending to Baker Mayfield. Steve, and I don't think it's a stretch to think if Mayfield didn't have any connection with Sheppard and didn't ask for him, Sheppard would not be on the books right now, Steve. As simple as that.
That's what intrigues me most, Ira, is the Mayfield connection. Because, Mayfield's rooting for the guy. Obviously, Sheppard has had some successful years, and he's got 370 catches. You put together Palmer and the rookie and Rock Jarrett, and they don't have that kind of resume. So it's just interesting to see how it plays out. And if Sheppard is sharp early, I don't know how it all works, but that's always fun to see a guy like Mayfield recommend somebody, and here he is. It's just kind of neat. Wanted to get your take on that, Ira. The one thing, Lee, that I'd love to see, which we'll never know, because that great next-gen stat on Trey Palmer, we don't know, does he just have the fastest first two steps in football and then he slows down? Maybe he's great out of his break but doesn't know how to sustain it? I don't really know where that sort of cuts off. You would think the Bucs could work with that and build off it, but I just don't know where it ends,
Yeah, I wouldn't call him polished late. He's not polished.
No, not yet.
Steve, talking about the Sterling Shepard situation and wide receiver in general, depth chart on the 24 Buccaneers, correct me if I'm wrong, but just like I picked up a few nuggets about this third-round defensive back out of Georgia, Lee, you have picked up some things on another third-round pick by the Buccaneers, and that happens to be a kid named McMillan, who's a wide receiver. Lee, and I think from your early reports, Sterling Shepard's going to have a problem trying to beat this kid out for playing time.
Well, I have to preface it by saying this is just underwear football. I've seen Tommy Streeter light up the Bucs defense, and he disappeared when the pads came on. I've seen Kenny Bell look like Linus Swan in underwear football when the pads came on. He looked like a UFL reject. So I'm really trying to temper my enthusiasm for McMillan. But right now, he looks like, I don't know about a home run, but certainly a double and a gap. That's what it looks like right now. He looks like a solid draft pick right now. But I know he's gaining some confidence because yesterday I saw him try to put a juke move on Winfield. I'm like, rookie, calm down. That's Mr. Winfield. He will tell you when you can try to juke him or not. But I give him props for having the confidence to try it. I have spoken with some coaches, and so far, thumbs up for Mr. McMillan. But again, it's really early. There's been no pads. And let's be honest, this isn't football what we're seeing, Ira. It's flag football without the flags. Earlier today on Thursday, I thought Luke Kennedy was a breath of fresh air. People are asking, hey, how's the offense coming along? And everybody's like, oh, it's great. It's what we want to be. Everybody's hunky-dory. And Luke Kennedy asked him, how's the offense coming along? We're eons away from where we need to be.
I think Lee is very smart, Steve, to temper
that.
the early Buck enthusiasm. But, Steve, at this stage, Jason Light, Steve, has a chance to extend a rather remarkable streak of successful third-round draft picks, Steve, going back 5 or 6 years, starting with Chris Godwin, Rashad White. There's been a few others. Alex Kapp is a good player. He's not a Buck, but he's a good player.
Keyshawn Vaughn?
Well, take it easy, Steve. Take it easy. This McMillan Smith, and I want to talk a little bit, Steve, a bit more about this Nike Smith. And I talked to the kid yesterday. Very humble, soft-spoken. I got him off the field.
Hey, wait a second. Tyke Smith, he's the cornerback out of Georgia, third-round pick. And the Sage bodied up to him here, but got in his grill. And so what happened?
He's not a corner, Steve. He's a safety. He's a safety. In my opinion, he's a safety. And he's being cross-trained. I hate that phrase. We've come to hate it around one
Buck. Didn't Cutter coin that?
Yeah. He's being cross-trained at safety and nickelback. So he's not an outside corner. there. He's not going to challenge McCollum or Jamel Dean. But, Steve, here's my point about Tyke Smith. I couldn't get it in the column, but I'll tell our listeners. The guys that I talked to about this kid, some of them didn't want to be quoted with their unbridled enthusiasm, Lee, because they didn't want to take any chance that this kid would read it and it would go to their head. But and these were important people in the organization. I wouldn't say they're stunned, but they are so pleasantly surprised about this kid's football intelligence, Lee, and how he's picked up the defense. And Smith tells me that, well, it's fairly similar to what Georgia was running. Maybe that's true, maybe it's not. I think Bowles' defense is pretty darn complex. I've heard that from other people. Lee, they're off the charts about Tyke Smith.
Wow.
One guy looked at me in the eye yesterday and said, I think he's going to be our best draft pick. That's what he said. So, you know, now look, Izian wasn't bad, Lee. He wasn't bad.
No.
You know, for an undrafted free agent, pretty darn good. He played about 60-65% of the defensive snaps last year as an undrafted player. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Lee, it reminds me a little bit, just a little bit, of the Mayfield-Trask so-called competition. I think it's Smith's job to lose, Lee. That's my read on this thing. Izian's ahead of him on the depth chart, as he should be in June, as he should be. But I think this kid's going to win that job. I think he's going to be on the field 70% of the time. And he grasps he's got the versatility, Lee, that they want that slot corner spot. You got to do a lot of things now. Nobody's asking him to be Rondé Barber. But if he's smart, Lee, and I think he is, he's going to spend as much time with Rondé Barber as he can. And Rondé will help him.
Oh, sure. Now, Ira, do you think along those lines of Smith, Tyke Smith, he's a physical player, and I have no problem with that personally. Could we see maybe a little transformation in Bucks? What I mean by that is Jordan Whitehead clearly is a physical player. Antoine Winfield can be a physical player. Maybe he is a little too much. A couple years ago, he kept getting dinged up. We know that K.J. Britt is a thumper. Could we be seeing maybe a transformation in the Bucks defense with all these physical guys that they're going to make people pay if they come across the middle or things of that nature?
I think it would be a wonderful attribute, Lee, that's been missing around here for years. And Lee, you're not talking about Deshaun Goldson, it was a disaster.
Yeah.
Because when the rules changed and couldn't hit people like he did with the 49ers, and it just wasn't effective, it didn't work out. You're not talking about that. The guy was getting too many penalties. But, Lee, you don't mind making people think twice about going over the middle against the Buck defense. And, Steve, I don't really think we've seen that much around these parts of that physicality. While you remain disciplined, and the word I keep hearing about Smith is intelligent, and I think he could streamline that physicality into a real attribute for the Bucks, Steve.
Well, it's great stuff that you're hearing out there, Sage, and I'm a little surprised that you're talking up Izzy. And I mean, it was still a bad pass defense last year. We've talked about this many times. You know, somebody wasn't playing very well, and I think he was one of those guys. He had a quick start, got a couple of picks, didn't get any more, and hit a rookie wall, and I think they're very happy to replace him. Like, I don't think anybody's crying at $1 saying we got to find a way to get Izzy on the field. I'm not sure they could trade him for more than a seventh-round pick. So, this could be a very big upgrade. And if they're that excited, you know, like you said, Ira, they'll use him in a lot of different ways. And, you know, as far as Jalen McMillan, just a lot to prove, you know. And it comes down to how they decide they want to use him. And if Chris Godwin's going to play in the slot, you know, McMillan is not a big guy. And a lot of the scouts entering the draft looked at him more as a slot receiver that could also stretch the field. I mean, yes, they can be very creative, but I don't know. We have to see what he can really do out there. And, you know, that's why it's exciting. That's why he's a rookie. That's what training camp's for. But, you know, certainly the depth is there with Trey Palmer, who's a focused guy, and Shepard. You know, Lee wrote about it, maybe being the best unit on the Bucks. You know, we're going to find out real fast.
Lee, we haven't talked about this guy, Lee, since he went AWOL. And I'm talking about Gregory and Steve, I'm not going to get carried away, Steve. I'm not going to overinflate what you've been saying. And, let's get it clear, Lee. Steve has never said that Gregory is going to get 9 sacks this year. He never said that. But I think, Lee, we were kind of all in agreement that at least in the beginning of the season, you know, Gregory would share of playing time. Let's see what he's got left. And now, Lee, we're back to square one with Braswell, and, you know, he hasn't made a tackle yet or taken a snap. I don't know. I look at the production off the edges, Lee. I look at it, and I just don't see it right now.
Well, I was never on board with Randy Gregory. You know, I wrote this yesterday on JoeBucksFan.com, and I'll just repeat it. When I heard the Bucks signed him, my first reaction was, this guy? The Bucks have such a good locker room and have some talented young players. Why would you introduce a guy like that into that locker room? I mean, when the NFL's let him on the field, he's averaged 3 sacks a season this decade. Not last year, not the year before. This decade, he's averaged 3 sacks a year. Hell, that's not even as good as Stoyanka. And people want to run Stoyanka out of town. I get that. And Stoyanka has zero baggage. This guy has all kinds of baggage. If you have street cred, I'm okay if you're saying, well, you know, my grandmother's got a hangnail, so I can't make it to practice. You know, you produce when you show up. Okay, fine. This guy doesn't produce. He's a jag. And a jag with baggage. And I didn't understand it from the time he was signed. I don't understand it now. If he's still on the roster come the end of next month when training camp begins, I still won't understand it. Of all the veterans they could have signed, this guy? I mean, come on.
Sage, I got a bigger picture question for you. Why did the Bucks let this turn into a media pile-on of Randy Gregory? Like, why did Todd Bowles not get out there on day one and sort of get ahead of it and say, look, we don't expect him here for minicamp. We're dealing with it internally. And you know, we're not concerned about it at all. We expect him here for training camp. But there's no rule that says you have to say whether an absence is excused or unexcused. There's no like injury list for that. So why did the Bucks do this? Why did they let it go day by day and let everybody, fans out there, build this hate for Gregory? Why would you do that? I don't get it.
It's not the first time, Lee. It's not the first time. Now, let's be clear, Lee. When you look around the league at 31 other teams, the Bucks are like the good ship lollipop. They have not had a lot of locker room issues, Lee. They haven't. Antonio Brown is a relic of the past. I think Devin White, Lee, was a problem last year. We don't know what happened behind closed doors, but he basically lost his job at the end of the season, as he should have. They tend to mishandle these things, Lee. They don't get a lot of them. But when they get them, they're not out front. They're not proactive. And as a result, the story has legs, Lee, and it lingers when it really shouldn't. We'll see what happens with Randy Gregory. I wouldn't be shocked if he never suits up for this team, Lee.
Well, here's what I'll say. I don't blame Bowles one bit. The issue isn't how the Bucks handle it. It's the issue is Gregory is on his ass somewhere other than Tampa Bay, other than one Buck place. That's the issue. You know, how the Bucks handle that, that's like, that's not even secondary. That's way down the freaking road. And this is Randy Gregory's fault, not the Bucks' fault. Let's not get our eyes off the ball here. And again, I'll just go back. I have no idea why they signed this guy in the first place, because it seems like, at least chemistry-wise, they've got an excellent locker room. And you've got all kinds of young pass rushers that could be influenced by this guy, and not in a good way. I just think this is like Swaggy Baker and Deshaun Cancer all over again. And by the way, Aubrey, you brought this guy's name up twice, and I'm not going to go off here, but it irks me a little when people try to compare Gregory to Antonio Brown. I think that's borderline obnoxious, and this is why. If Antonio Brown was not a mental patient, he damn near might be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Am I crazy for saying that?
No.
I mean, this guy had skill, and he demonstrated it year after year after year. Yeah, was he a pain in the ass? Absolutely. But how big of a cancer was he? The Bucks won a freaking ring with him. So I can't even remotely compare him with Gregory. Gregory's a jag. What do you have, 6 sacks 1 year? Ooh! If you're trying to get 6 sacks this year, people still want to get rid of it. I just don't understand why the Bucks are bending over for this guy.
Lee made one quick point in passing, which I think is important. Lee, you tend to downplay chemistry a little bit in the locker room. A little bit. Steve being out twice for a mandatory minicamp. I just get the general sense this is a tight team. It's a tight team. There's camaraderie. The The young players have some guys to look up to, like a Levante David and a Mike Evans. This is a very good locker room, Steve. Now, that's not going to win you 11 games.
But, exactly.
But a bad locker room can cost you.
Oh, Swaggy Baker.
They don't have it, Lee. And, you know, I got to give Mike some credit. He picks the players. He picks the players and Bulls plays the guys that he thinks gives them the best chance to win. This team likes each other. These guys like each other, Steve.
Absolutely. And I think that really begs the deeper question of why. I don't think it's unimportant at all. Why would they do this? Did they bring in Randy Gregory and are sticking with him now because they think that their edge rush is that bad, that they have to deal with something like this? Do they feel compelled based on his film that, hey, you know what? He may be the best we got right now until we see if Braswell can play. And I say best we got after Yaya Diaby. So I don't know, Ira. I don't know what the thought is. And I think from a fan's perspective, they will be asking fans to cheer for Randy Gregory. And if you're going to ask fans to cheer for Randy Gregory, then don't F it up by throwing him under the bus by not handling the situation in the best light for a guy you're asking people to cheer for. And I think that's important. They've decided, for whatever reason, like you said, Ira, they bungle these things a lot. Gregory didn't show up, but they could just sort of put it out there from day one. Hey, Randy Gregory's not going to be here. Tristan Wirfs won't be practicing the Gregory thing. He'll be fine, but we're not worried about it. It's just part of what we do as a team. And the whole thing goes away, but they chose not to. But in 8 weeks, they'll be asking us to cheer for the guy. It's a little weird.
Lee, is it going out on a limb to suggest midway through training camp, Randy Gregory's no longer a Buck?
I'm at the media room at One Buck Palace. I'm finishing up on my notes article. And right when I'm about finished up, there's a notice from Buccaneers Communications. First thing that went through my mind, Randy Gregory cut. But no, that wasn't it. I hate to admit it, but I'll just be bluntly honest. I don't want to wish for a guy's ending, but I certainly wish that Gregory's days with the Bucs have come to an end. I don't think they need this. Like I said, it'd be different if this guy had produced like JVP or even produced like Shaq Barrett a couple of years ago. But he's another player. So he should have said right away, you're done, you're gone. All these young guys are looking at this and they're like, I guess I can blow off practice too. There's no consequences.
Yeah. Steve, it's appropriate in this podcast to do a shout out. Steve, a brief shout out to Jeff Tewksbury. You saw him many, many times at the Bucks or at other sports events. Great career, Jeff. You're going to be missed. Fox 13 cameraman. Great personality. Lee, you love the guy. Always upbeat, Lee. Always upbeat.
Have you ever seen him without a smile on his face?
No. Love this job, Lee.
I'm not the most popular person in that meeting room. There's quite a few people in there that would love nothing more than see me along. Tewksbury was a welcome sight because, hey, Lee, how you doing? And, just always a good guy. He's going to be missing. He was a photojournalist. Who better to chronicle the glory years of Tampa Bay sports with the Lightning coming into town, with the Bucks resurgence, with the Rays coming into town and making the World Series, the Lightning winning Stanley Cups, the Bucks winning Super Bowls. Who better in the Tampa Bay area to chronicle all of that than Jeff Tewksbury? Think about it.
I thought you were talking about me, Lee, for a minute. Steve, didn't you? I hear you. And Steve, it's worth mentioning that the Bucks did a nice job this week honoring Tewksbury. They did him right. They did him right.
It was nice, Ira. I mean, I got to say, you know, the fans don't care. He's a cameraman. You know, he holds a camera. That's the average fan thought. So I'm going to stick with that for now. Guy had a great career. Nice guy. And, you know, he may end up covering the Bucks 3-4 more years as a freelancer for somebody. So doesn't mean he's gone just because he's leaving Fox 13 after all those years. Sage, what else stood out to you? Who else were you talking to out there at One Buck?
Well, I got Bowles off to the side both days that I was out there. Steve, I challenged Todd Bowles to a 40-yard dash. Yes, I did. He's got a bum knee. I got a bum hip. Actually, not a bum knee and a bum hip, but a new knee and a new hip. And he laughed it off, Steve. I was about 80% serious. I was ready to go. I think it would have been quite a sight. Lee would have had the video out there. Jeff Tewksbury would have had put something on Channel 13. Could have been very entertaining. Coach Bowles told me, Steve, I asked him how it's going with the rehab. It's been a little rough. Been a little rough for Bowles. I've had a smooth recovery, and he hasn't. It's really bothering him when he's sleeping. Can't find a good position to sleep in. He's getting 2 hours of sleep. I hope things, get better for him in a hurry. And I've heard that knees are more complicated than hips in terms of replacement, Steve. So me and Bowles are both hurting. But, Steve, I'm going to be back on the court in a couple of months, so you better sharpen that racket up, my friend.
Steve, I saw Ira walking yesterday. You couldn't even tell he had a limp.
Sage is doing great. Fantastic. Fantastic. All right. That's good, Ira. You'll tell us what else he had to say when you got secrets you can't share. But we always appreciate those. Somehow they usually surface in a few weeks. Ira.
I got to say that driving down yesterday, and I had on the Dan Patrick show, and, you know, he's a very good interviewer, Patrick. He is. And, you know, he's younger than me, but he's got a good frame of reference, you know, going back to the 70s. And I put the radio on. The first thing I hear, Lee, is that Jerry West passed away at 86. And, you know, it hit me. Lee, these things hit me. I remember Guy LaFleur. Steve, I was 17 when he broke into the NHL. And so I just loved everything about the guy. And that one hit me hard 2 years ago. He died. They gave him a state funeral in Montreal. And the same thing with West. He's of that stature. It hit me a lot harder than Bill Walton for whatever reason.
Oh, wow.
Maybe because my frame of reference is the 60s growing up. Steve, a lot of our listeners think like, Jerry who? Oscar who? Oscar Robertson, never heard of him. Steve, these are legends. Jerry West is a legend. And I'm telling you, I got my top 10 list all time. I think it's very tough to argue against me. And I got Jerry West on my team, Steve. I know he retired in 74. I got Jerry West on my all-time top 10 team in NBA history. And, Steve, you see some of these lists that come out. It's like, Lee, 8 guys played in the last 15 years. I mean, that's nuts. That's crazy. You know, you're not going to put Bill Russell on the team because he played in the 60s. So, Steve, that Jerry West thing hit me hard. I told Jason Light, he was coming off the field. I said, Jerry West passed away. He looked shot. I told Mick Rapone, the safeties coach. I told Tom Moore, and you know, Tom Moore can remember Jerry West as a player. Yes, he can. Yeah, maybe even a college player in West Virginia. And Tom Moore was shot. So it takes a lot to shock Tom Moore. The only thing that shocked him last year was the lousy Buck offense. Steve?
I'll make you feel old, Ira. One of my earliest memories of sports on TV was, I know it was the Lakers, and I think they were playing the Celtics, maybe the Knicks. But old black and white, you know, fuzzy black and white TV of the NBA Finals. Who was the play-by-play announcer in the NBA Finals back then? I'll make you feel old, Ira.
Wait a minute. Don't tell me it was Chris Schenkel.
No. No.
It wasn't Musburger.
That was CBS.
CBS. And it wasn't Kurt Gowdy. No. That was CBS. All right, who you got? Like, Summerall?
No. Keith Jackson.
Oh, I thought he was on ABC, Keith Jackson.
Yes, he was. So was the finals act, at least when I watched it.
That's okay.
It was the ABC All right. property.
All right, that's our history lesson for today, Stevie.
All right, Sage. Hey, Levante David, I looked it up, Sage. 66 consecutive games, including the playoffs, with no interception. That was even more than what I thought it was going to be. I figured it was going to be, you know, in the neighborhood of 3 years plus a few games. But that's stunning. And David this week said he gets picked on about it all the time. Every day, all day is what he said. And, you know, I thought about that. I realized, well, that's why Jamel Dean is always smiling all the time, because his streak is only 29 games. And David said it's very important to him, and he's not going to let it dictate the way he plays, of course. But, you know, that was really something. Did that stand out to you, Ira?
I think the word stunning is appropriate. That's like four full seasons of NFL football without a pick. Now, look, that's not his main job. He does so many things so well. But, Lee, he's always around the ball. That's the guy who's always around the ball. You would think a deflected pass, Lee, a tipped ball, would fall into number 54's arms. Lee, that's a shocker. It's an absolute shocker. And it's not going to help his Hall of Fame case. We'll get into that another day. I know Steve's all over that. Krasnicki from PA was talking about it with me the other day.
In my eyes.
Comparing him with Bobby Wagner. And, you know, there are comparisons. but Lavonte doesn't have the hardware. And Steve, you would think a couple of balls fall into his lap in the last 4 years, and it hasn't happened. And Lee, you're not going to want to hear it, but Bowles wants takeaways. Lee, yes, he does.
Bowles, yes, he does, wants wins, too. Would you take a lesser linebacker that gets 2 picks a year, or would you take a stud like Lavonte David who gets no picks a year? To me, the choice is so freaking easy. It's almost embarrassing to ask that.
That's a no-brainer, Lee. That's a no-brainer, no question. But I wouldn't mind him picking off a couple of balls, Lee. I wouldn't mind.
Oh, no, I mean, I'm not saying that it's not a good thing. You play good fundamental football first. Everything will take care of itself. That's Bill Walsh's premise. Do what you're supposed to do, and the score will take care of itself. If you go out there with a one-track mind, i.e. Lovie Smith, garbage turnovers, you're going to screw up right and left because you're not going to play fundamental football. You're going to blow assignments all for the almighty fumble or the almighty interception.
And I will say, Steve, to be fair to him, well, Lavonte David. Steve, I thought it was one of his best years last season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. He played great, great football. He's an excellent player. That's why they gave him a raise. He's making huge money again. And it's just a unique number that I wouldn't have guessed it was that high. You know, as Lee said, I think the best way to sum it up is that if you had Lavonte David, the equivalent at every defensive position with no turnovers, you'd probably, have a top 3 or 4 defense. So end of story right there with that. Ira, Baker Mayfield, Todd Bowles said this week, quote, he has a lot more audibles on his plate that he did in the past. Now he's picking receivers. He's got more audibles. This is Mayfield's team, Ira. What do you say?
There's no question. There's no question it's Mayfield's team. Is that a good thing? We'll see. We're about to find out. They are all in. They were all in on Brady, and we all understood that, Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly because of Brady's age. Now, Mayfield's in his prime, Lee. You know, he's got that sweet spot. 29 years old, 30, 31. You know, that's it. You're at the top of your game, most people. And they're all in on Mayfield. Lee, he's got clout when he walks into Light's office and makes a suggestion. And he's going to have a lot of clout with Leon Cohn, who's got history with Mayfield in Los Angeles. I don't mind letting Mayfield have a bigger leash to change plays at the line of scrimmage. He's not a neophyte. He's been around. He's seen all these defenses. I trust Mayfield in that regard, Lee.
I don't blame the Bucks for doing that. Here's why. They thought enough of Mayfield that they invested in him, i.e. a contract, to be their starting quarterback. And if you trust the guy and if you believe in him enough to sink money into him, well, why wouldn't you want to get hey, I'd like to have my old college teammate. I think he can help us out. Why wouldn't you do that if your quarterback wants that? So I don't have a problem with that at all. If you believe in him and you trust him, why not let it be his team? Why not act on his whims? I don't have an issue with that.
Steve, I don't have a problem with giving him more authority at the line of scrimmage to read the defensive alignment, get out of a bad play call before the snap. He's got experience in my book, Steve, to pull that off. He's a smart guy. I think he can make those snap decisions.
Ira, do you ever remember in your 71 years covering the NFL, do you ever remember a division having every team in the NFC South has a new offensive coordinator and a new offense? Do you ever remember a situation like that before? I don't.
I really don't, but in a sense, Steve, I'm not surprised. Nobody should be because of how wretched this division has been. Lee, I wrote something a couple of weeks ago. I was so shocked by doing the research. I don't think it's gotten enough attention. And I'm going to say it again. I want these listeners to listen to this.
Hey, Ira, wait a minute. What does that mean? What, it hasn't gotten enough attention? Are people supposed to march in downtown Newport Richey? Are they supposed to hold banners outside the stadium? What does that mean?
It means that I'm supposed to see it on Pro Football Talk. I'm supposed to see it on ESPN, crediting Joe Bucks fan research. So I'm going to say it again, Lee.
All right.
Here we go. Listen to me closely, gentlemen. Since the 1970 merger, now Lee, I was good in math, but you don't have to be a math major to realize more than 5 decades have passed in what I'm about to say. 5 decades, Lee. No team has ever won at least one. And I'm saying, Lee, I don't have that much confidence that the winner of the NFC South this fall is going to have more than 9 wins. I don't know that. I don't know that, including the Bucks. We could be talking about history in the making. Now, look, it's not the Kennedy assassination, Lee, but it's a piece of history. How do you like that, Isbits?
It would be stunning if the Bucks won it with 9 wins. It is a weird nugget, Ira. I'll give you that.
It's the kind of nugget, Lee, out of a Twilight Zone. You know, I stumbled upon it. I didn't know it, but, you know, I was struck by 2 straight years, you know, 8 wins and 9 years winning the division. And I started going over, you know, every division for 54 years. And it's never happened 3 times in a row. So we shall see, Lee. Lee, you know, Vegas thinks the Falcons are going to go, 16 and 1. I'm kidding, of course, but they are high on the Falcons. And Lee, I'm not high on the Falcons. I'm kidding with Vegas, but they are a prohibitive favorite to win the division.
By the way, your buddy Pete Briscoe was really pushing the Bucks. He flat out said they will win the division.
I saw that.
Hey,
I'm giving them a piece of cake or something. It's easy to win over Frisco.
Ira, you can lease a 2024 Ford Bronco Big Bend right now for $496 a month. There's many other great lease offers through the end of this month at Bill Curry Ford. Curry's the family name, C-U-R-R-I-E, Bill Curry Ford. Reach out to Sean Sullivan for that Ira Kaufman discount. And, of course, be prepared. And be ready, put it in your phone, Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite restoration.com. If storm damage or any kind of disaster in your home afflicts you, you know who to call and who to trust immediately. Another great family-owned business. Ira, I got to throw this out at you because I gave it my best shot. It's like an annual ritual at joebucksfan.com because we are literally hours away from the Bucks releasing their training camp schedule. And when the Jets put theirs out, I had to fire it up again. And you know we've talked to ownership about this, and we've made a stink about it. I know you love it because nobody else does. But bottom line is the Jets, they've got, you know, a million primetime games. They got Aaron Rodgers. They're in the biggest market in the world for football. And they've got 7 open training camp practices scheduled that they just announced. I was up there last year, Ira, for the Bucks-Jets practice. And they've got like 2,100 seats. The Associated Press stories that I've seen, you know, say about 2,000 fans every time that they're writing about the Jets practice. The Bucks can seat about 3,000 at their practices, and the Jets are able to open it up to the public. What they do is they put tickets on sale; they're free, and they give season ticket holders a couple of hours to grab them. If not, they immediately are open to everybody, and the Jets can do it. But last year, the Bucks only made 1 practice open to the public. That was a mid-August Monday morning when school already started. Thanks a lot, Bucks. And the year before, it was nothing. Do you think they're going to cave here and just let the fans back in? Because really, every other team does it, and it's not an exaggeration.
Well, I guess I'm going to make your day, Stevie, because you always like a little nugget dropped in, and I guess we saved it towards the end of the podcast. Lee, I was asking about this very topic at mandatory minicamp with the people that are in position to know. And Lee, I was told directly there will be a change of policy to a certain extent. They're not opening up every practice to the general public. But Lee, it's going to be significantly more than 1 practice that the rank and file can attend. There will be several practice sessions that will be open if you're not a season ticket holder. I don't have the number, Steve. I don't have the number of practices. But it's going to be more than 1, and it'll be less than 10. A change in policy is imminent for training camp, and to the extent that we have moved that ball along, I'm very proud of Joe Bucks fan, because Lee, to me, we're the only ones that have ever talked about this stuff. The rest of the media folds like a cheap tent and doesn't even want to, raise the issue, afraid of estranging themselves with Buck management. And And we're looking out for Buck fans. Lee, that's our name. A change is coming in August. I don't think it's going to be ideal, but it's going to be better, Steve. Better.
That's good to hear.
Great to hear, Ira. Great to hear. And we'll see what the number turns out to be. That's fantastic. Keep improving.
And Steve, I'll say this right now. The first 200 fans that come out on a certain date, I will drop my drawers and you can see my sutures from the hip replacement.
Oh.
I don't know if that deserves a thank you, Ira, but it does deserve us to ring the bell to get out of this podcast. Look, Sage, I'm going to pin you down because it's the end of mini camp and it's a good benchmark to do this. Same thing for Lee, but I'll ask you first, Ira. So I'll give Lee the little extra time here. And I just thought of this. It just felt like it was the right time. So here you go, Ira. Where do you see the Bucks record right now? You've seen the schedule. You've seen mini camp. You've talked to people. You've gotten a feel for the rookies. Vacation's about to start. What are we looking at here? What's your win total?
Lee, doesn't he normally wait till the opening of training camp, Lee? Now he's getting an early jump. All right, I'll go on record now with a chance to change it, depending on injuries or whatever in training camp. I got him at the same record, Lee, 9-8. Mm. 9-8. And if I had to bet, Lee, I think that's good enough to win the division. I do.
Wow. You look at that schedule, at least I do. I see a path to 10 wins. I really do. It wouldn't shock me if they go 11. I'm not ready to go that far. But I see a path where 10 wins is rather realistic.
Right now, sitting here, I like 10 wins as well. I think they should be better. I think the offensive coaching is going to be better. I think all those rookies who played last year, that's going to help in year two overall. And I'm not impressed with the rest of the division like you just explained. So there we go, Ira. We're filled, brimming with optimism here at JoeBucksFan.com World Headquarters.
I'll say this, Steve. If you two are right and they go, 10-7, Lee, that would mean that Bowles goes from 8 to 9 to 10. That's not bad, Lee. That's not bad.
You weren't going up, yeah.
that might actually win over some of Buck Nation, which I think is still a little skeptical about Todd Bowles.
A little bit, but, the way they pounded Philadelphia, I think that quelled the masses, so to speak.
Arrow pointing up, Ira, and arrow pointing out the door for you. We'll see you next time.